Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. It is almost 2:30 p.m.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for February 11th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Proposed regulations would allow fracking wastewater into the watershed and export of New Jersey and New York City drinking water.
Our guest, Tracy Carluccio and Wes Gillingham, will tell us more. Welcome to Ecologic. Tracy, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Tracy Carluccio. I'm Deputy Director of Delaware Riverkeeper Network. Thank you so much, Sally and Donna and Ken, for having us on today to talk about this really urgent issue.
Sure. Wes?
Yeah, thank you. I'm Wes Gillingham, Associate Director of Catskill Mountain Keeper. And we've been at this particular issue, both of us, for a really long time.
So is there a ban on fracking or not?
Yes, there is a ban on fracking throughout the Delaware River watershed. As a matter of fact, this month is the one-year anniversary of the adoption of a full ban on fracking throughout the Delaware River watershed. So there's no drilling or fracking within the watershed, which takes up parts of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. However, there are regulations that are proposed by the agency that oversees this watershed that proposes to allow fracking wastewater to be imported into the watershed and also for water from our watershed to be exported for use in fracking in other places. That's what we're fighting.
Yeah, this has been, this didn't just start last week. Way back in 2011, when the fracking, the height of the build-out for fracking in Pennsylvania was happening, they wanted to come into the Delaware River Basin and drill. And there was a proposal for regulations. Well, we got thousands of people out to rallies, and they even canceled one of their meetings because they knew so many people were going to be showing up at the Capitol building in New Jersey. So they created a moratorium. Then, you know, fast forward, there was a point where New York was revamping all of their drilling regulations, which eventually led to a ban in the state. And there's been, you know, a host of other things that's been happening around this time. You know, hundreds of studies done on the health impacts on fracking. Finally, they saw the writing on the wall and the wisdom to, you know, ban drilling and fracking in the basin. But we also went through a couple of phases of proposed regulation where they were going to allow wastewater to come into the river. And that was important to the industry, the gas drilling industry, because they're having a real hard time getting rid of this stuff because it's got PFAS chemicals in it. It's got radioactive waste in it. There's a whole host of, not even mentioning the horrible chemicals that they put into the water to frack. So with the help of multiple other groups, it's not just Catskill Mountain Keeper and River Keeper. There were a lot of other groups involved with going to the hearings. Every time there's a hearing and an opportunity to speak out against this and getting people from the community at these, they started over again. This time they banned it. But then what we're left with is a set of regulations that just aren't, I mean, it bans drilling. It bans wastewater coming in. It doesn't ban water withdrawals. And then it's just convoluted. And then you go back and you look at the water code, it gets pretty wonky. But they just did not do a good job of, you know, completely banning it and making sure there was no loophole. We could talk for and just keep going around each one little detail. But the fact is, these folks should know how to write the language to stop this. And that's why we're trying to get people to put in as many comments as possible in this process.
Yeah, I remember being at some of those early hearings, and this is about drinking water, right? A lot of people get their drinking water from the river, and
don't realize it.
About 17 million people get their drinking water from the Delaware River on any given day.
How many?
Many of them don't. Up to 17 million people. And this is a relatively small watershed. We're talking about a watershed that is half the size, for instance, as the Susquehanna River watershed, that gives water to half that many people. And the reason for that is a large part of the river back in the 1930s was shunted over to New York City in order to provide safe and healthy drinking water. And there has been decades-long fight to keep that water safe, to keep it clean. And the watershed program in New York State supported a ban on fracking because of that. Now, also, water in New Jersey is shunted over to places way outside of the watershed. And about one quarter of the population of New Jersey gets their drinking water from the river. And so we end up with having a tremendous amount of people totally dependent on drinking water from the Delaware River, and its high quality has made it sought after. And there's no other place to go if that water is ruined. So what does happen if they bring frack wastewater into our watershed? We will have a degradation of water quality. We will have what other communities are struggling with today, the horrible impacts of the ruinous nature of fracking on human health, on habitats, on the environment as a whole. And that's not only for us living here today, it's for future generations, because the impacts of fracking are reaching far into the future. As a matter of fact, some of the chemicals are called forever chemicals because they never go away. Radioactivity, 1,600 years half-life. So we're really talking about long-lived pollution if they let this wastewater come in and ruin our water supply.
Let's get back to basics. Couple of questions. What could you explain what DRBC is? Who is the they? And also, I guess another basic, but maybe not for our audience, is pretty smart, but what's fracking?
Sure. So Delaware River Basin. Short version. Okay. Delaware River Basin Commission
It's a compact agency. It was formed back in 1961. And it's an interstate agency, and there's five voting members that make the decisions about how the watershed resources are managed. And they will be the ones voting on whether or not to accept these flawed regulations that are filled with loopholes. And those are the governors of the four states that flow to the Delaware. So that's New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, and a federal representative who represents President Biden through the Army Corps of Engineers. So these five votes are actually very easily influenced, and I use that word lightly, by the people. And that's why we've been able to get so far as we have with having a halfway ban. Now we want them to finish it and give us a full, complete, categorical ban.
And then my normal factoid definition of fracking is you take some really clean, a tractor trailer loads of clean water, 5 to 12 million gallons of water, mix it with thousands and thousands of pounds of chemicals, toxic chemicals, pump it under the ground with enough pressure to break up rock 8,000 feet under the surface, and then add chemicals to bring those fracked chemicals back out. You've got emulsifiers, and you've got to send these proppants down into the fractured rock, proppants meaning basically sand kernels. So they need something to keep those sand kernels floating into that chemical and pumped down, and then you've got to have lubricants to get so that they go out as far as they can into the formation to then allow the gas to flow out. Sounds like an easy process, doesn't it? It's just incredible that you would be considering doing something like that in a basin that's such an important source of water for people.
Bottom line.
I certainly tasted the difference in the water in the Allegheny Mountains of Pennsylvania, because the rest stops on Route 80, the water used to be delicious, and now it's foul, and you don't want to go near it. And the poor Boy Scouts who are trying to fundraise by selling hot dogs, they're boiling it now in toxic water. They didn't used to. They used to boil it in wonderful water.
There's a lot of fracking for oil and gas in the Allegheny National Forest there. And about two-thirds of Pennsylvania is underlain by the Marcellus Shale. And that's the same shale that we have in our watershed here, and about one-third of our watershed is underlain by the same gas-producing shale formations as Wes said, deep under the earth. One of the problems that we have with this whole crazy fracking concept is that when they do the fracking, what comes back up is a toxic and radioactive wastewater. And they have to do something with it. So they've been trying to find a lot of ways to use it by calling it, beneficial use and reuse, such as using it in cooling towers, using it to make cement. In Pennsylvania, they put it on roadways in order to de-ice and also to keep down dust on rural roads. And they have been sending it to injection wells, mainly in Ohio and West Virginia. And they have so overfilled those wells that they're actually having earthquakes, and they've had leaks of this toxic wastewater that they're supposed to be getting rid of or disposing of in these deep wells, when actually it's just moving it to another place in time, and the pollution is leaking out into the aquifers. So this wastewater needs to have a place to go. And since these super wells are now being fracked in Pennsylvania and also in Ohio, they're producing a lot more wastewater than they were just as soon as 3 years ago. And it's about four times the amount of water that's used and about four times the amount of wastewater that they have to get rid of. And that's why the industry is targeting the Delaware River Basin Commission. They've been draining the water resources in the Susquehanna watershed. They're looking for other places to come over and drink up. And the DRBC is opening the door to let them get in. Now, they do have some thresholds you have to meet before you could show them that there's a reason you need to take the water away, but there's no categorical ban on doing that. And the industry knows how to get through those loopholes. It's just too full of loopholes in order to keep them from taking the water. And then on the other hand, all this glut of toxic and radioactive wastewater, they're running out of places to send it to. So that's they're looking over here because we have had, as Wes said, a de facto moratorium for the last 11 years. And so that means they haven't been able to dump it on us yet. Now they want to do it.
I think of what we say in the nuclear concern, just stop making more of this stuff if you've got no place to put it. What can we, the people, do to kind of push the Basin Commission in a better direction?
Well, several things, Sally. One thing, you know, and maybe Wes can say, how did they manage to get fracking banned in New York State? But one thing I would like to say is that some of the most impossible challenges are actually doable. And it really means that we have to put our heads together, our hearts together, our minds together, and figure out how to do it. Because we now have a ban on fracking in the watershed. We just need to get a full ban. We need to extend it to the wastewater and to the water. But one thing that's very important is we need to stop fracking everywhere. And we feel here with our fight and with these draft regulations, we'll be enabling fracking by giving them a place to get rid of their waste and giving them more water to frack with. So our part in these draft regulations will actually prevent the inducement of more fracking if we don't let them have that water and if we don't give them a place to dump their waste. Frack up either.
Wes?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that is happening right now is there is an open public comment period on the proposed regulation. So a bunch of the groups that are in the coalition fighting this have put together something called Watershed Wednesdays. So there's actually a website where people can go and get the next regulation. We're putting out a talking point once a week on Wednesdays to give people ideas for what is wrong with the regulation so then they can make substantive comments to the Delaware River Basin Commission. So people can go there and they can look at all of the past comments that we've put out there so people can really understand the issue and how crazy it is. And this isn't, you know, if you do not live in the Delaware River Basin, it doesn't matter. You're talking about if you live in New York City, you're in the Delaware River Basin. These regs are about what's happening south of the dam for New York City's watershed, but it's all connected. And if you live in Philadelphia, and the other thing is, this is part of the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River. The Delaware River water gap is what we're talking about here. We're talking about two places that are protected because it's the longest free-flowing river in the East Coast. It's a national treasure. This isn't just about your backyard or your neighborhood. When we put together a petition to get people to sign this, we had people signing the petition from all over the country because this is a nationally important watershed.
There's talk of making the water gap a national park, right?
That's right. Another thing that we're doing on Monday is our Love the River Day. And it's a social media storm that we're creating. We're asking people to tweet and do Facebook posts and Instagram messages to tell folks about this opportunity to weigh in about the future of the watershed. And we have a lot of organizations in our coalition that are taking part in this social media storm on Monday. And, of course, it's Valentine's Day. So it's a perfect way for people to join in and express their passion for why they want the Delaware River to be saved from frack pollution.
And I want to mention, because we talk about FERC, which is almost always on the industry side of things, and we talk about the NRC almost always on the industry side of things. The Delaware River Basin Commission is not always on the industry side of things. It's you know, there's good and there's bad. And yes, we're emphasizing the bad because we want it to become good, but they are reachable. I guess that's the point I'm making. You can talk to them and they will listen. And the same thing with the governors of those states. They will listen sometimes.
Well, that's right. I think the power of the people in this instance is expressed to elected representatives, their governors, and then ultimately it's President Biden. So they're reachable because we're constituents. It's not just a blind bureaucratic agency.
In our remaining few minutes, what is it that you would like our listeners to do? What can we do to help? Tell us about
your... We want comments submitted to the record of the Delaware River Basin Commission. And we have a website where you can go and get tips, suggested comments, and easily submit them into the DRBC portal. And that, is, at this moment, is really the most important thing for people to do. We have a chance now to say what we want. We want a full and categorical ban on the import of frack wastewater and the export of water from our watershed for fracking.
And then once the comment period is over, we start calling your governor, whichever one it is, as often as possible to make sure that they follow the comments that have been put in by the public.
Yeah, we'll be kicking into gear with a public campaign to engage our governors, let them know what the people said, and what we continue to fight for.
And you'll be able to find the links to these campaigns on ecoradio.org.
That's great. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah, if you scroll to the date of this show, you'll be able to find links to both Tracy and Wes's organizations.
Yeah, and I'd like to say we do have a tremendous amount of other organizations involved, many of them in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And it's very inspiring because people throughout the watershed and people who maybe know our watershed because they went to camp here or something like that are all participating in this. And it's inspiring. It's really a grassroots, frontline, mobilized campaign by the whole watershed community.
As usual, the time flies by and we need to wrap it up. But thanks for joining us. For more information, you can reach Tracy Carluccio at www.DelawareRiverKeeper.org and Wes Gillingham at www.CatskillMountainKeeper.org.
Join us next week, Friday, February 18th, for Two Women of Green, leaders of large-scale energy-efficient programs in New York City buildings.
We have information on a variety of environmental topics, such as the New York State Pension Fund continuing to divest and the return of Occupy Biden on President's Weekend. Or to listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Mainstream media won't give you all this information that Tracy and Wes just shared with you. Their corporate profit interests will never broadcast these details. That's why Ecologic and WBAI are so important. We need to exist.
It's you, the listener, who has the power to keep Ecologic on the air. Help us to continue to bring you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs, and our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Go to www.give2wbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next or call 212-209-2950 and say that you want to be a member or a BAI buddy and put Eco-Logic in the search box and see the environmental DVDs and CDs that are available for donation to WBAI.
Like so many producers here at WBAI, we are volunteers and work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Also, those of you online, please sign up for our email list to stay connected with us on ecoradio.org. Those of you on social media, search for Eco-Logic.
And thanks to our terrific engineer, Reggie Johnson, we couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Friday, February 18th at 2 p.m. to hear about Women of Green.
2:30 p.m.
2:30. What'd I say? 2. We make it really a point, 2:30 p.m. on Friday, February 18th.
WFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert Drowns with some brief news headlines. The Canadian province of Ontario declared a state of emergency today amid a weeks-long protest by truckers demanding an end to vaccine mandates. Ontario Premier Doug Ford said he would, quote, urgently enact orders to punish truckers who impede critical infrastructure. The truckers earlier this week blocked the Ambassador Bridge linking Detroit to Canada, forcing some car manufacturers to pause production. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer told CNN Today that the bridge blockade was harming her state and said she had urged Canada to, quote, do whatever it takes to safely and swiftly resolve this, end quote. Canadian officials have signaled a willingness to take stronger measures to end the protest, with additional forces being deployed to the Ambassador Bridge area and to the capital Ottawa, which has been the epicenter of the disruptions. Police have made 25 arrests in the city so far. A number of vehicle convoys are expected to depart for Canada from the United States this weekend, carrying food and supplies for truckers protesting vaccine mandates. Two such convoys are expected to reach the Peace Bridge border crossing near Buffalo on Sunday. Organizers of the U.S. convoys say they support the protests and want to see vaccine mandates in the United States tossed out. The trucker protest in Canada has also been linked to neo-Nazi organizations, with some protesters carrying Confederate flags and swastikas. Up to 3,000 New York City public workers could be fired today for refusing to follow the city's vaccine mandate. The city says 95% of its roughly 370,000 employees have received at least one vaccine dose, and thousands more have received exemptions to the rule. Hundreds of city workers protested in Manhattan earlier this week, with some saying they would be willing to submit to regular testing if it meant not getting vaccinated. But Mayor Eric Adams has stood firm on the rule. Quote, we have to be very clear. People must be vaccinated if they are New York City employees. Everybody understood that. End quote. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak abruptly dropped his state's mask mandate today, making him the latest Democrat to loosen statewide pandemic restrictions. New York Governor Kathy Hochul allowed her state's mandate covering businesses to lapse yesterday, but said the mask rule would remain in schools until vaccination rates are higher among children. Both Hochul and Sisolak have allowed local governments and businesses to enforce their own mask mandates. Connecticut will lift its statewide mask mandate, including in schools, on February 28th. Oregon officials say their mask rules will be lifted by March 31st. And Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf rescinded his state's school mask mandate last month. CDC officials have called the moves premature. And the shortlist for the next Supreme Court justice has been narrowed down to just four people, President Biden told NBC in an interview yesterday. Biden met with Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee following the NBC interview, detailing his plan to nominate a black woman who can craft, quote, stirring, compelling, lasting arguments, according to Senator Chris Coons. Biden has not explicitly named his final options, but has said he wants a nominee that can win significant GOP support. But most Senate Republicans have voted against the administration's lower court nominees, and many have decried Biden's decision to nominate a black woman as identity politics. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 65 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 55 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert Drowns. Thanks for listening.